Welcome to Money Matters, your place for financial sanity and serenity. A place to pick up tips and tools to learn how to get out of debt and live stress-free. If you have a question or a comment, dial up 941-206-1580, toll-free, 888-441-1580. And now, your Money Matters host, Mark Martella.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Money Matters, your place for financial sanity and serenity. In today's show, I'm going to share with you an inspiring story of a man who had his whole life changed forever only 11 seconds after achieving one life goal which imposed unforeseen challenges upon him for the rest of his life he never anticipated or planned for. I'll be welcoming my special guest, financial advisor Timothy Meyer, with Edward Jones, who will share with you important issues you need to think about when planning your financial future. And we'll take your calls throughout the show. If you have a question about getting control of your finances, give me a call at 941-206-1580, toll free 888-441-1580. And you can email your questions by sending an email to me at mark@markmartella.com. But before we get into today's show, if this is your first time listening, I want to share with you why Money Matters was created and why I want to help you get out of debt and relieve the stress that it causes in your life. You see, I've been an attorney for 29 years now, and during the heyday of the last real estate boom, I had a practice focused on real estate and small business and dabbled in the world of bankruptcy. However, with the real estate crash over the past 10 years, the bankruptcy part of my practice exploded, as well as defending foreclosure actions for people trying to save their homes. Well, many of the bankruptcies I've filed over the years were due to the foreclosure crisis and the resulting loss of jobs where people had to rely on credit cards just to survive. Especially here in Southwest Florida, I was often asked by clients, after they received their bankruptcy discharge and were relieved of their debt, how can they ensure they don't have to go through bankruptcy again? So I put a chapter in my book, Bankruptcy in Plain English, what to do so they don't get into overwhelming debt again. But then I realized that the book was not enough because, one, it didn't reach enough people, and two, it didn't provide a step-by-step system on how not to get back into debt. Also, over the years, I would see people making the same mistakes over and over, and I thought that if I could reach them before they make these critical financial mistakes, I could help them avoid the difficult and emotional process of bankruptcy. Hence, Money Matters was born. Look, if you're drowning in debt, you're not alone. There's $652 billion of outstanding household debt in some stage of delinquency in the U.S., and approximately two-thirds of those balances are at least 90 days late. So if you're overwhelmed by credit card debt and struggling to make the minimum payments each month, if you're behind on payments and being harassed by constant phone calls from your creditors so you don't even answer your phone anymore, or if you're just one missed payment away from losing your car or having your house being foreclosed on, then Money Matters is for you. But maybe you're like millions of Americans out there who don't live an extravagant lifestyle. You're not behind on any payments, and you don't even have any credit card debt, but you still can't seem to get ahead and save for that house you've dreamed of, or save up an emergency fund for when life happens. Well, then, Money Matters is for you, too. It's finally time for Americans to wake up and realize that our country is addicted to debt. And it's my mission here on Money Matters. And the whole reason Money Matters was created is to help you break that addiction, educate you on how credit card companies and marketers manipulate your thought process to feed your addiction every day, whether it's online, through social media, TV, or print media, and give you the tools and systems you need to live a debt-free, stress-free life by bringing sanity to your finances. So if you have questions and you're looking for answers, give me a call on the show today at 941-206-1580, toll-free 888-441-1580, or email me at mark@markmartella.com. So getting into today's show, I'm going to share a story with you, and the reason I'm sharing this story with you is so often when I meet with bankruptcy clients, they come in overwhelmed, thinking that it's the end of the world for them. They'll never get out of debt. They will be slaves to their creditors. And I try to convey to them that while bankruptcy is not a pleasant process, it's a step to getting a fresh start. And everything needs to be put in perspective. Unfortunately, you know, financial stress leads to depression and in worst cases, suicide. And we've done a show on that. And the perspective that, my clients don't have and that I see every day is I get discharges in almost on a daily basis, people getting a fresh start with great stories. So I like to share those type of stories with, people. And I had the, good fortune of, hearing a story this week, or I should say last week, last Thursday. I attended the Southwest Florida Blue Chip Awards. And for those of you who are not familiar with that, it's a, an award given out every year to a business that has overcome some challenge, whether it be economic challenge, maybe a health challenge. A lot of the winners were awarded the prize after Charlie, and I imagine we'll see some after Irma in, the coming years who have overcome this great challenge. And there were five nominees this year. It's put on by BB&T. It was originally started by an insurance company, Oswald Tripp, which was merged into BB&T. And the best part of it, not only acknowledging these five companies, and this year's winner was Siesta Pebble, but they always have a great motivational speaker. And this year's speaker was someone who I was not familiar with. If you're from the Boston or New England area, you may be familiar with him. His name is Travis Roy. And I'd like to share his story with you. You know, Travis grew up in Maine and was just lived, breathed, and drank hockey. His dad ran two skating rinks, so he always had the opportunity to be on the ice. And he had a number of goals that he set in high school in his freshman year. One was to become a Division I hockey player. Second was to eventually play for the NHL and hopefully also make the Olympic team. Well, he worked really hard, went to different prep schools, and received a number of scholarships, scholarship offers when it came time to choose his college. Well, after considering Harvard and Michigan, he settled on, or I shouldn't say settled on, but he chose the reigning national champion, Boston University Terriers. And so he got there and started his freshman year. And most freshmen don't get to play in the starting games on the starting lineup, but he was one of the four chosen to dress up. And the coach told him that he would be on the third line. So here's something he's worked for his whole life. Again, his whole life surrounded hockey. He went to prep schools that were great at hockey, and he reached his goal, and his father was a big part of the goal. So they had the excitement of raising the national championship banner. The crowd is really hyped up. And 2 minutes into the game, they score their first goal. Well, Travis gets the tap on the shoulder to go in. He goes in for the faceoff. The puck is slapped down to the corner of the ice on their end, and he goes racing down. And he goes to check a player from North Dakota by the boards and misses him a little bit and goes head first into the boards. Then lies motionless on the ice. But better than hearing it from me, I want to use his words from his book called 11 Seconds. On the second shift of the game at 1:45, Chris O'Sullivan scored a goal to give us a 1-0 lead. The place naturally went wild, and O'Sullivan celebrated the goal of the season so excessively that Coach Parker gave him a little lecture about it when he came off the ice. Our line was the next one up, and Drury, Sylvia, and I climbed out for the faceoff at center ice. That's when the picture was taken, the one that now hangs beside the BU dressing room. My one faceoff, my last faceoff. It's still difficult for me to believe my world was one of endless possibilities right then. Drury won it and dumped the puck in deep. It's a play that happens 100 times a game, a million times every college hockey season. I was the nearest forward, but it was clear that the North Dakota defenseman would easily beat me to the puck. BU has always been known as a physical team. It's one of our trademarks, and not many people knew I could be physical. I wanted to surprise them. I wanted to show I could deliver a good, clean, solid hit. It's the best way to start a game. Anyway, to get your head in the game. It sends a message. We're coming at you all night, every chance. The defenseman turned to retrieve the puck from the corner, and I had him lined up with pretty good speed, controlled speed. I wasn't charging. Just before I got there, though, something happened. I can't say what. I was too excited, perhaps. Too pumped up. Something. I don't remember losing my balance, but I deflected off him. There wasn't the impact there should have been. Then I blacked out for a fraction of a second. No more than that. When it came to, I was face down on the ice. I went to get up, and there was nothing. Nothing. You can't describe it. A split second earlier, I'd been light and fast and powerful, full of juice, and now there was nothing there. It was as if my head had become disengaged from my body. I was turning the key in the ignition on a cold winter morning, and the battery was completely dead. Not a spark, just click, and nothing. And right away it passed through my mind. I was probably paralyzed. Strange. I'd never heard of such an injury in hockey, but it was one of the first things into my head, and just as quickly, I knew it was over. 11 seconds after my first face-off, college hockey was finished for me. Well, in his book, he goes on to talk about what that first year was like, going through the rehab, learning to live with having to have 24-hour care 7 days a week. A lot of people would give up. All his dreams were shattered. Instead, he decided that he was going back to Boston University to try to complete his education. And his book called 11 Seconds was written about a year and a half to 2 years after the accident. So it gives a perspective of a 21-year-old who has just lost all of his dreams. But a year after the accident, he went back to his high school to deliver a speech. And he ends the speech with the following, quote, "So what is my message? We must continue to chart a course for our lives, set goals, and live every day to the fullest as we strive to achieve them. If life takes an unexpected turn, hang on to the goals that are still realistic and reassess those that are not. Our value systems remain unchanged. It is these core values that provide the foundation for setting a new course. That course may lead us in directions that we never anticipated or even dreamed of, but that new course may lead us to making contributions and accomplishments that are of more value to society than those we had originally planned for ourselves. I'm still in the process of reassessing and figuring out exactly how my life will work again. I know that it will be good and a happy life, however, and one of which I will be proud." Now, again, he wrote that when he was 21 and still having not even gone back to college. So what he was going to do was really unknown even to him at that time. So we fast forward. October marked the 22nd year since the accident, and on the anniversary 2 years ago of the accident, a story was written about what they did to honor him that day. And this article appeared on the website for BU Today. It was written by Amy Laskowski, and it appeared on October 29th, 2005. And she writes, quote, "Exactly 20 years after the accident that left BU hockey player Travis Roy paralyzed from the neck down, he was celebrated by the city of Boston and by his alma mater. Roy appeared on ESPN. The Boston Bruins signed him to a one-day contract, and Mayor Marty Walsh declared October 20th Travis Roy Day in Boston. That night at a gala at Aganis Arena, benefiting the foundation that bears his name, Roy also celebrated that his foundation had raised more than $6 million over the years, $1 million that night alone, to help those with spinal cord injuries lead independent lives by providing accessibility through wheelchairs, computers, and vehicle lifts. The Travis Roy Foundation also funds research with the hope that it will lead to a cure. Earlier in the evening, Christopher Moore, Dean of Sargent College of Health and Rehabilitation Services, came to the stage to announce a surprise, a $2.5 million gift from a group of anonymous donors that will establish the Travis M. Roy Professorship in Rehabilitation Sciences at Sargent and provide the foundation with office space on campus and a $50,000 annual stipend towards staffing for the next 10 years. On stage, dressed in khakis, a terrier red tie, and a suit coat, Roy reflected on his life. He stated, quote, 20 years ago tonight, I lived out my dream of playing Division I hockey. I was recruited to play on BU's defending national championship team in 1995. The 11 seconds at Walter Brown Arena playing for Boston University were the best 11 seconds of my life. In the 12th second, the freshman forward crashed headlong into the board, shattering his fourth and fifth cervical vertebrae, severing his spinal cord, and leaving him paralyzed from the neck down. Roy acknowledged that lying in the intensive care unit for 2 months, supported by a ventilator, he wondered if his life was worth living. He had no idea what being paralyzed meant and assumed he would live as a burden with his parents. But today, he said his life has value. Once I decided I want to live, I realized I could live according to the same values that made me successful before my accident. He said, my work on the Travis Roy Foundation alongside my friends and family has helped me create a life that is very rich, very much worth living. I feel so loved. I realize that my work is my new dream, and that's what fuels me. In the years since Roy's accident, donations have come from across the country. The initial support, coupled with insurance BU bought through the NCAA, provides Roy with 24-hour care, but not everyone is so fortunate. Roy says many paraplegics are afforded only a limited amount of home care, dictating how often they can leave the house. It puts a strain on family and friends who are forced to become caregivers. Roy hears these stories during his 50-hour work week with the Travis Roy Foundation, now in its 18th year. When it started, it was able to give out 5 or 6 grants a year. Today, it gives out 150 grants a year, making home modifications so a 17-year-old boy paralyzed in a car accident can return home, and installing a lift so a father who fell off a ladder can reach the second floor of his home to tuck his children into bed. Other foundation work has Roy visiting survivors of spinal cord injuries and their families in the hospital. Quote, when I go in, I don't preach, he says. I know life will get better than they realize, and it takes time. I think the best thing I can do is roll in there and present myself, look good, and talk about what I'm doing. They need to see that things will get better. When Roy started his foundation, he imagined a breakthrough would come through within 10 years. He still hopes to go out of his business one day. So far, the foundation has given $2.1 million to cutting-edge research in conjunction with the Christopher Reeve Foundation. The Troy Foundation is funding one of the first clinical trials involving the implanting of a device on the spine of people with paralysis that stimulates the nerves and reminds them how to work again. The Travis Roy Foundation is also funding research at Stanford University and Burke Medical Research Institute. Roy ended with this quote, sometimes we choose our challenges and dreams, and if we're really lucky, we can reach them. But there are other times in life when the challenges simply choose us, and it's what we do in the face of the challenges that defines who we are. More often than not, the challenges choose you. But from sports and my teachers, I learned to never give up. No matter how bad things went, you always have to have the desire to get back up. Well, as I said, I had the honor to hear him speak last week. I also got to meet his parents, who are just amazing parents to have, who supported him throughout this, as well as his sister and a great group of friends and coaches. So he had a great support system. And he credits his ability to go on and achieve things that he admits he never would have achieved had he been a hockey player, and raising all these funds and helping all these other people who are suffering from paralysis. And he gave three things that are the key to what he's achieved. One is you have to have a desire to see how good you can be. And number two, you have to have a pride in yourself, a pride that, did you do everything you could? Did you do whatever it takes to achieve your goals? When you look yourself in the mirror, did you do everything it takes? And then finally, he says, the power of a positive attitude. And reading what he went through in the rehab and how his life had changed, and then seeing him speak and the power of his message, clearly the power of the positive attitude is exemplified by what he's achieved. So again, I want to end this segment again by just reading his philosophy again. There are times in our lives when we choose our challenges, and other times when the challenges simply choose us. It's what we do in the face of those challenges that defines who we are, and more importantly, who we can and will become. If you'd like to learn more about Travis, again, his book is 11 Seconds. There's an ESPN E60 done on him. If you go to the Money Matters Facebook page, I've put the link there. Real interesting story. And one of the fundraisers looks really neat every year. They do a wiffle ball tournament up in Vermont, and they have three fields. One is a replica of Fenway, one is a replica of Wrigley, and the other is a replica of the field from Field of Dreams, with the cornrows in the background. And that's one of their biggest fundraisers. So again, check that out. When I come back from a short break, I'm going to bring on my special guest, financial advisor Timothy Meyer with Edward Jones, who's going to share with you some insights on planning for your financial future. But first, I want to tell you about Mike Martin with State Farm Insurance in Punta Gorda. You know, having your own State Farm agent means having a real person there to help you when things go wrong. So when accidents happen, you've got someone you know who'll be there when you need them. Mike Martin in Punta Gorda is that State Farm agent. Mike has your back when things go wrong, so call Mike and his team today at 941-505-2550 if you have questions or need help with insurance. That's 941-505-2550. And remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hello, I'm Anthony Manganiello with iCard Merrill. For over 60 years, the attorneys at iCard Merrill have been providing legal counsel to individuals and small businesses in Southwest Florida who need help when life happens. From real estate to estate planning, divorce to personal injury, bankruptcy to starting a business, the attorneys at iCard Merrill stand ready to guide you through the legal challenges in your life. While we have over 30 attorneys spread through offices in Charlotte, Sarasota, Manatee, and Lee counties, we are committed to provide each of our clients with the personal touch and compassion instilled by our founders. For more information on all our practice areas and attorneys, please visit our website at iCardMerrill.com or give us a call at 941-206-3700. That's 941-206-3700. Remember, the attorneys at iCard Merrill are here to help you when life happens.
Do you love to shop for fabulous finds on clothes, furniture, housewares, and appliances? Would you like to help out families and veterans in our community while getting great deals? Hi, I'm Tina Figliolo, CEO of the Charlotte County Homeless Coalition, and I'd like to invite you to our new and unique store, Fabulous Finds Resale Shop, located in the Charlotte Harbor Publix Plaza at 4265 Tamiami Trail in Port Charlotte. We're open 7 days a week. Don't miss our Fabulous Friday sale on the third Friday of each month. Like our Facebook page to be the first to see new arrivals and deals. We accept donations of furniture, clothing, appliances, and housewares, and we'll be happy to pick up the furniture donations from your home. Give us a call at 979-8230 to arrange a pickup. Again, come out and see us for fabulous deals at Fabulous Finds Resale Shop, 4265 Tamiami Trail in Port Charlotte. All net proceeds benefit the programs and services at the Homeless Coalition.
It's a big job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife. But I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working long as my two hands are fit to use. I'll drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues.
Well, welcome back to Money Matters. I'm your host, Mark Martella. Again, I recommend that you check out the Money Matters website at www.markmartella.com for free resources and to learn other tips and tools from the archives of my show. Just go to the radio show podcast tab to hear all the past episodes. Also, I want to let you know that if you're currently overwhelmed by debt and don't think you can break out of the cycle on your own, or if you've had it with being harassed by credit card company phone calls and want some help, please give my office a call at 941-206-3700 to schedule a complimentary and confidential 1-hour consultation with me so we can analyze where you're at and what options are available to you. Also, if you call one of my team members at 941-206-3700, they'll send you a free copy of my book, Bankruptcy in Plain English, The Ultimate Layman's Guide to Taking the Fear and Mystery Out of the Bankruptcy Process. So again, if you're looking for help right away, give us a call at 941-206-3700 to schedule a complimentary appointment to help you gain some financial sanity in your life. Next, I'm happy to introduce my guest, financial advisor Timothy Meyer, who is going to provide us with some insights when it comes to planning our financial future and retirement. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Well, let's start with where are you from, where'd you go to school, and how'd you wind up in Southwest Florida?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I actually grew up right here in Southwest Florida. I was born in Charlotte County and went to school at UCF, where I was fortunate to meet my beautiful wife, Tiffany. And we have our 6-year-old son here, Alex. And backing up, we spent some time in St. Louis, where our home office is, Edward Jones Home Office. And I was fortunate enough to be able to come back where I was born and raised, and we're really, really glad to be here.
Cool, cool. So how long have you been back?
Coming up on 6 years now, Mark.
Okay, okay. So you missed Charlie?
No, we actually was here for that.
Okay.
Very fortunate to be here for that, right?
Right, 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 right. So when we're talking about your business, your practice now, what type of stuff do you do?
Yeah. So primarily what I do is I focus on two different groups. One group being business owners, and the second being people who are both planning for and retired. We call them, you know, those who are kind of in the retirement red zone, so just before they've retired in that first 10 years beforehand, and then those that have retired.
I like that red zone analogy. So one of the questions that I always play with in my mind and are questioned about with my clients is, you know, if I have somebody that's got 20 grand in debt and has $2,000 in an IRA and they're 40 years old, what do you do? Where do you balance that? You know, if you're paying 18 to 25% interest on something, you're not going to get that in most retirement accounts. So what are your thoughts about a situation like that?
Yeah, generally speaking, you know, it's really important that we pay off that consumer debt first. You know, think about our cars and credit cards and things of that nature. You can't legitimately start saving for retirement if you're paying 20+% on your debt. And this really brings up the B word that most people don't like to hear, and that's the budget. And those that can sit down and create a realistic budget, they can help themselves tremendously just by following that step. And I'm sure you've crossed that border here many a times.
Well, yeah. And a lot of times when I have a bankruptcy consult, that's the other B word they don't like to talk about. But, you know, part of the initial consult is we ask them to please give us a budget. What's their income and what are their expenses? And it may be the first time they've done it. And as they're sitting down with me, they realize that even getting rid of their credit card debt, they still don't have enough income to make, you know, their monthly expenses, their monthly nuts. So it is real important. We have a resource on the Money Matters website. If somebody goes to the resource page, we have the ultimate budget planning tool. It's almost 5 pages of a spreadsheet with every possible expense that a lot of stuff people don't think of, from, you know, whether it's birthday gifts, dentist visits, all these things that people need to have. So you know, I'm 100% with you that the budget is the first thing. So I guess when they meet with you, that's one of the first things that you do with them.
Absolutely. I would say one of the most important things that we do is we set realistic expectations across the board. And by doing that, that gives you a firm foundation to build on. Just like a house, you got to have a solid foundation.
So getting back to the initial question, if they have a ton of debt, especially at high interest rates, really that's one of their first goals from a financial standpoint is to get rid of that in some way.
Absolutely. You can't move on in the process without doing that. And I think about financial planning in different phases. And really the first phase is truly shedding that debt and trying to get to a good foundation. And then you can get to your second step, which is really the accumulation phase where you start to put money away for retirement using your 401k and IRA. And the next step, ultimately, that's where you get to that retirement red zone piece. You get to the phase where you're trying to carefully grow and protect your nest egg, and then you can reach that distribution phase. And it's really a practical matter, and you got to think about it in steps and have realistic expectations for those steps.
Well, obviously, if you look at some of the projections I can even do online, you know, if someone is smart and disciplined enough to start saving or start putting some stuff away at retirement at the age of 22 or 25, makes a big difference. I'm fearful that most millennials are not doing that, especially with all the messages that are out there about enjoying today and don't worry about tomorrow and all the credit card debt that's out there. But again, in our community here, acknowledging that it is one of the highest median ages in the country, and I meet with a lot of people who are starting over. Now, one of the big things in bankruptcy, one of the benefits of bankruptcy here in Florida is two big assets are protected. Your homestead is protected from creditors, credit card companies, and your 401k and IRA are also protected if they're properly set up. Unfortunately, I meet with a lot of people who are in their 40s and 50s who have no retirement funds. So, I mean, when is it too late to start planning, or is it never too late to start planning?
The simple answer is it's never too late, Mark, but of course, the earlier the better. And at that point, that's when you're starting to work through those phases, and it just depends on where you are today and truly where you want to be. Is how long it's going to take.
So let's say someone, whether they've gotten through bankruptcy or they've paid down their debt and now they want to start planning for the future. And I think in some of our past conversations, to steal a quote from Stephen Covey, you start with the end in mind. So what's a typical scenario on how you would sit down with somebody and look at their future?
Yeah, so the big piece is obviously, I mentioned, setting realistic expectations, and you want to use an established process. So really step one is, where am I now? And that's taking an honest look at your balance sheet, your budget, and then you think about step two, which is, where do I want to be? And that's where you're thinking about the long-term goals. The third step is truly, can I get there? And that simply means, do the numbers match up? If you can't get back to that point, if you can't get there, we need to back up to step two and make some adjustments. And that falls back into having realistic expectations. So once you determine that you can get there, that what you have now lines up with where you want to be, the next step is, how do I get there? And then that's the point where you are looking at, you know, what type of portfolio should I use? What should it look like? And then the last piece is staying on track. And truly, that's the piece where the ball is dropped the most often, because if you are not constantly revisiting your plan, the ball often gets dropped and you're back to square one, I'm afraid. So if you're not spending the majority of your time in that last step, that's a problem, Mark.
So it takes a lot of discipline.
Absolutely.
And constant review. And one of the step five of my five-step financial sanity solution is tracking. You know, you got to track your expenses and track, you know, what you're paying on or what you're doing with your investment money. Are you staying with that? Or Unfortunately, what I see a lot is parents having to help out their children or grandchildren, and they're sucking up money from, you know, if their house was part of the retirement plan, they're taking out that second mortgage. They're pulling money out of their 401k or IRA, and from what you're saying, that obviously throws off their total plan going forward.
Absolutely. And I tell my clients very often that, you know, it's fantastic to be able to help, and it's a wonderful thing to help your children get through college. But then again, you can't borrow to retire, but mm-hmm. you can borrow to go to school.
Right, right. And so often what happens is the kids will file bankruptcy, but those debts aren't dischargeable, so it still comes back on the parents, and really it hurts them in retirement. And then they rely on the credit cards because they're using the extra money to pay the student loans, and it's a vicious cycle. So, well, we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, Tim will share some more insights on how to plan for your future and retirement. We'll be right back.
It's tough out there trying to stretch every paycheck a little further than the last one, and one of the best places to help is at the office of State Farm agent Mike Martin, because Mike and his team will do a free discount double check to make sure you're getting the car insurance discounts you deserve. So give State Farm agent Mike Martin and his team a call today at 941-505-2550, 941-505-2550, because being there to help you with auto, home, and life insurance is why he's there, like a good neighbor. State Farm. Farm is there.
Do you love to shop for fabulous finds on clothes, furniture, housewares, and appliances? Would you like to help out families and veterans in our community while getting great deals? Hi, I'm Tina Figliolo, CEO of the Charlotte County Homeless Coalition, and I'd like to invite you to our new and unique store, Fabulous Finds Resale Shop, located in the Charlotte Harbor Publix Plaza at 4265 Tamiami Trail in Port Charlotte. We're open 7 days a week. Don't miss our Fabulous Friday sale on the third Friday of each month. Like our Facebook page to be the first to see new arrivals and deals. We accept donations of furniture, clothing, appliances, and housewares, and we'll be happy to pick up the furniture donations from your home. Give us a call at 979-8230 to arrange a pickup. Again, come out and see us for fabulous deals at Fabulous Finds Resale Shop, 4265 Tamiami Trail in Port Charlotte. All net proceeds benefit the programs and services at the Homeless Coalition.
Hi, I'm Elisa Norin with Eichard Merrill. For over 60 years, the attorneys at Eichard Merrill have been providing legal counsel to individuals and small businesses in Southwest Florida who need help when life happens. From real estate to estate planning, divorce to personal injury, bankruptcy to starting a business, the attorneys at Eichard Merrill stand ready to guide you through the legal challenges in your life. While we have over 30 attorneys spread through areas, offices in Charlotte, Sarasota, Manatee, and Lee counties, we are committed to provide each of our clients with the personal touch and compassion instilled by our founders. For more information on all our practice areas and attorneys, please visit our website at eichardmerrill.com or give us a call at 941-206-3700. That's 941-206-3700. Remember, the attorneys at Eichard Merrill are here to help you when life happens.
Sunday morning ever, and Sunday passing by. I'll be working here forever, at least until I die.
Well, welcome back to Money Matters. I'm your host, Mark Martella. Again, I recommend you check out the Money Matters website at www.markmartella.com for free resources and to listen to my past radio shows for more tips and tools to help you get out of debt and stay that way. I'm here with my special guest, financial advisor, Timothy Meyer, who's sharing with us some things we need to all consider when it comes to planning for our retirement so we're not like Huey Lewis and having to work until we die. So what are some of the common mistakes you see people making when preparing for retirement?
Mark, I think those realist expectations on spending and investment performance are ones that I see that folks seem to get wrong quite often. It becomes a real problem, not in the beginning, but actually it tends to be a problem later in retirement. And unfortunately, the problem, the longer a problem lasts, the harder it is to fix.
Sure. And
perhaps more, the more painful it may be to fix because you may have to consider adjusting your lifestyle accordingly to solve that problem. Another thing that I see often is a big change. Let's say, for example, I had a client last month who decided to buy a second home. And what we had done is we actually reviewed that in their financial plan. So we determined exactly how much they were going to spend, how much it would cost in the long term, and we were able to help them with confidence make an offer on a house and know that they could financially afford that. And that is really important when you're consulting with your financial advisor to let them know the things that are coming down the pipes. Another thing that I see very often is people tend to put the cart before the horse when it comes to their portfolios. So people often build portfolios without going through the financial planning process first. And you truly can't know what your portfolio should look like if you don't understand a person's goals, their risk tolerance, their time horizon, because these three things are actually what tell us what your portfolio should look like at a high level. So those are the few things that I think that are really important that are missed.
So when it comes to risk tolerance, I think that's probably one of the biggest questions that a financial advisor should be questioning somebody. And depending upon the risk tolerance, that all plays into planning for the future and what their goals are.
Absolutely. You know, when it comes to risk tolerance, if you don't get that right, unfortunately, you don't realize it until it's too late. And that's the bottom line because, down markets are perfectly normal. And up markets always follow down markets. And up markets, they last significantly longer. But the problem is if we have a portfolio going into a down market and you reach that point, that pain point, everybody has one, where your portfolio has come down and you're not comfortable maintaining that portfolio and you just hit the eject button and sell, there's no going back from that, Mark.
You know, I watched my mom's investments and show them to her and, we'll have 6 months of it going up and it goes down 1 month and she goes into a panic. And I'm like, Ma, a long-term view on it. So, and then she has zero tolerance for risk. So I have to bring some sanity to her at times. What should a person look for when they're choosing an investment advisor?
Yeah, for me, that question is pretty simple. I ask, would I click with that person both personally and professionally? On a professional side, a few questions I think about is, do they have both the experience and the expertise to help me accomplish my financial goals? Have they demonstrated a commitment to being an expert in this field? Because I think it would be tough to argue over the last 10 or 15 years, the financial world's probably become a little more complex, even in that short time frame. Also, do they practice holistic financial planning or do they just focus on the investments? That's a really important thing because you need to really establish what you're looking for and think about that. One other thing I think is important is most of the time we think about research. When we research for a financial advisor, we look online. So, of course, you can look up their U4 online, which is, that's kind of like their broker report card. And you can find that by Googling it. So if they have a laundry list of complaints, that may be a bad sign. But feel free to ask about any notations on there. That's perfectly normal. Now, I said that both personally and professionally. Personally, I think about this as very often overlooked because you should be working very closely with your financial professional as well as trust them. And you have to like them in order to trust them, Mark.
Sure.
I think that's pretty important. So you should have a relationship where you feel comfortable, you know, socializing. And I mean, just could you go to lunch with them and have a nice conversation with them? Because, you know, in the end, if you, that answer is not spot on, you know, maybe it's just consider rethinking the relationship.
Sure. So important. And it could go both ways. I just happened to be flipping through the channels last night and I came across American Greed. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but tens of millions of dollars he convinced people to give to him because of their friendship. I mean, one was Eddie Murphy's ex-wife gave him $10 million. And part of his thing was they were friends. And he said, I'll protect it from all those people out there who are going to try to separate you from your funds. Meanwhile, he went through $10 million in a year. That trust element is real important. I think it was our friend Ronald Reagan who said, trust but verify.
Absolutely. I think it's really important to be able to have that and, you know, also keep them at arm's length. So sometimes it's a little challenge to have your brother-in-law as a financial advisor, right?
Right. Talking about that and trust but verify, how often should a person sit down and review their investments with their advisor each year?
Yeah, good question. I think about that in a couple of different elements. So we talked about the overall financial plan. You know, if everything is relatively status quo and we're not thinking about making any big changes, then, you know, take that out and dust it off at least once a year. That's, you know, really important to go through and verify all these different components. You know, is our spending on target? You know, has our investment performance gone on target? Has anything changed significantly? So that needs to be done once a year or if something, you know, significant changes within your life. As far as investment performance, Mark, I would say on a quarterly basis is really important, at a minimum, by the way. And if something significant changes within your portfolio, within the market, it certainly should be addressed sooner.
Sure. Well, let's talk about some of the considerations for the retirement lifestyle. And I think one of the big things that people don't think about is long-term care. How do you address that when you sit down with somebody?
You know, that's interesting because that all relates back to the financial plan. And I think about that type of insurance as almost putting a moat around your castle, mm-hmm. right? We got to keep the bad guys out. And what I mean by that is something that's going to throw off that overall financial plan. So when we crunch the numbers and we set those realistic expectations, if we add in a $6,000 a month draw for some type of extraordinary medical expenses, that can really throw it off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important and a really powerful thing to do. So you can either, you know, self-insure, we can look for an appropriate insurance solution, or you can simply accept the risk. But I highly recommend insuring that risk because it's not a risk I think worth taking.
And because, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 is really conservative right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any extraordinary medical needs that may not be covered, including some nurse care and stuff, it can just drain that retirement. And when you have a couple, if it drains it for the surviving spouse, because more often than not, the surviving spouse is going to do everything possible to care
Absolutely.
For that one, it really throws a monkey wrench into all that planning that you've done.
There you go. Our job is to take as much risk off the table and help you to, you know, enjoy retirement and the lifestyle you've worked so hard to grow.
So Tim, you gave us a lot of great things to think about. If somebody wants to meet with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so feel free to give my office a call. Carol is my assistant. She is an awesome lady. Our phone number is 941-637-6787. Again, that's 941-637-6787. Or my website is edwardjones.com/Timothy-Meyer.
And where's your office located?
So we're located in Punta Gorda on the south end. If you're familiar with Home Depot and Publix, our office is actually right there in the Publix Plaza.
Okay, so real easy to get to, right off 41 there.
Absolutely.
Going to the Publix Plaza. Well, again, I want to thank you for joining me today. Like I said, a lot of great tips. I want to thank everybody for listening today. Again, If you'd like to get in touch with Tim, you can give him a call at 941-637-6787. And I want to remind you that you can listen to this show again and all past shows by visiting the Money Matters website at www.markmartella.com and clicking on the radio/podcast page. And for those of you who are small business owners, I want to let you know that because of Irma, I've rescheduled my Small Business Success Bootcamp 3, the championship bout, to Friday, January 19th at the Charlotte Harbor Event and Conference Center. During this event, you'll learn systems to create the ultimate client experience to turn your clients into raving fans, learn how to change your website from just a fancy online brochure to a revenue-generating machine, and how to connect to your customers through telling your own personal story. I've lowered the price, and I'm calling it my Hurricane Irma special. Most small businesses took a hit those 2 weeks, so I'm making a special offer, and instead of the regular price of $147, I'm reducing the investment by $100, and it will only be $47 for the first 47 business owners who sign up. To learn more about this one-of-a-kind event to help set your business apart from your competition, just go to the website, marksbootcamp.com, for all the details. That's marksbootcamp.com to take advantage of the $100 savings and sign up for just $47. Also, I want to remind you that if you're currently overwhelmed by debt and don't think you can break out of the cycle on your own, or if you've had it with being harassed by credit card company phone calls and want some help, please give my office a call at 941-206-3700 to schedule a complimentary and confidential one-hour consultation with me so we can analyze where you're at and what options are available to you. Also, if you call one of my team members at 941-206-3700, they'll also send you a free copy of my book, Bankruptcy in Plain English, The Ultimate Layman's Guide to Taking the Fear and Mystery out of the Bankruptcy Process. So again, if you're looking for help right away, give us a call at 941-206-3700 to schedule a complimentary appointment to help you gain some financial sanity in your life. Please join me next week at 11 when I'll share with you more tips and tools to help you get out of debt and stay that way. If you have a question you'd like to hear me talk about on the show, send an email to me at mark@markmartella.com. Also, check me out on Saturday at 9 a.m. on Facebook Live by visiting and liking the Money Matters page on Facebook. And again, if you would like to get in touch with Tim, please give him a call at 941-637-6787. That's 941-637-6787. Again, I'm Mark Martella, and until next time, remember, you have the power to choose to live a debt-free, stress-free life.
Thanks for listening to Money Matters with Mark Martella. For more information and systems on how to take control of your finances and get rid of debt, visit us on the web at www.markmartella.com. Join Mark next week for more tips and tools for a debt-free, stress-free life.
WCCF Punta Gorda, powered by AirTech AC and Electric. For repairs, installation of Amana climate control systems, and all your electrical needs, call 764-TECH.